Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. Wow, how the world has changed in 1 week. That's an understatement. A little bit more of that in just a few moments, but we enter into this festival season. I'm going to be talking a little more about that in just a little while, but just to give you a quick update, I did something on Facebook, went on YouTube and various places. The last week with the hurricane that we experienced, I won't go into all the details. It went right over our house, which was actually a blessing in so many ways. We did not have any damage, really, just some limbs down. We do have a number of people that we know of in various places from Florida all the way up to North Carolina that their lives have been rearranged through the destruction. And if you would like to help in that, please send me an email or message or something, text, and I'll be glad to give you some instructions of how you can be a part. Of course, yesterday, I'm recording a day late this week because of internet issues that we've been dealing with. But yesterday, all of a sudden, we've had very little communication here because of cell phone service and internet down. But I started seeing the red alerts that were coming in. And of course, you know the news at this moment in time. This is Wednesday morning. 181 ballistic missiles were sent from Iran into Israel. I've checked in with numerous people. I do know there was shrapnel that came down in the Hayavel base. Luke has a great souvenir that came down about 50 feet from him as he was filming some of that was going on over his head. Received a communication this morning from Moshe up in Itamar. They're fine. There was no damage there. There was shrapnel in the area. And also from those at the farm who have had missiles come in, rockets very close to them lately. We continue to pray for the protection of the land, the people, and I do know many soldiers' families that have family, soldiers, sons, daughters, and excuse me if I'm looking at my phone or still trying to catch up on some things. So I'm, you know, just in case I need to just pause this for a moment, I'm doing that. But thank you for those of you who have sent messages, texts, whatever, to Kathy and I. Actually, one person got through on a landline. We still have a landline, but I found out that with all of the computer stuff that's going on these days, it's connected in such a way that we couldn't dial out. We got one person that could call in, and somehow a couple of spam political calls came in. How did that happen? All right. So we enter into this time of the fall festivals of Yom Kippur, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur of Sukkot. And of course, in Israel, as I'm recording, they're getting ready for in their last few hours right now of what is referred to as Rosh Hashanah. So is it wrong to call this day Rosh Hashanah? Let me explain that a little bit. That Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. And so if we look into scriptures, I find that there are at least five different calendars that are revealed to us in scripture. There's the year of the planting, the trees, various other things that are there. But there was a calendar that was used from the time of Adam until the time of the Exodus of Egypt and the birth of Israel out of Egypt. So if we, and it says in Exodus chapter 12, this shall be the beginning of months unto you. But there's references throughout scripture to both those calendars. So and I'm not talking about, the differences in when the calendar is regarding the new moon and all of those things. I'm actually going to be talking to Barry about that in just a little while on Foundations for Life. So if you want more information on that, tune into that program. But what is believed, and I believe this, I don't know if I'm right or not, in that the calendar that was the original calendar given from the creation was actually the birth of Adam and Eve. I mean, consider that prior to Adam and Eve being born, being created upon this earth, there was no need for a calendar. Okay, I look out the window and I see that the leaves are turning. The leaves are not turning because today is October 2nd. The trees do not need a calendar to be able to do what they're doing. They do it because it is ingrained in the very essence of creation. Now, we, on the other hand, need something to go by and to mark time with. And that is the purpose that Adam and Eve, I believe, would have been given a calendar. Now, we see that in Exodus chapter 12, this shall be the beginning of months to you. So we could look at this as, maybe look at it as a civil calendar and as a religious calendar. The same as we have January 1st is on the Gregorian calendar, is a civil calendar. However, we have, for many businesses, you have a physical year. If you have a birthday, that is a beginning of another year for you. You have an anniversary, that's the beginning of another year for you. Okay, so we have different calendars in our lives. So if we look at this in that aspect, that creation, the creation of Adam and Eve, was day one, month one, year zero. Or maybe it was year one, because in Hebrew, this is true in Korea also, you're never 0 years old. Okay, when a baby is born, it is not zero, it is one. And therefore, if you're counting your birthdays by Hebrew or Korean, or I don't know any other countries I'm not familiar with, but guess what? I just put another year onto you. You may, if you're young, you may appreciate that. If you're not young, you may not appreciate that. So Adam and Eve, on day one, month one, they were zero or they were one. But then it would be in Exodus chapter 12 that a new calendar was established, which would be the birth of a nation. So consider the seventh month, which is a month of completion, that the revelation of Adam and Eve coming into this earth was so that the nation of Israel would be established. And I'm not talking about, at this moment, I'm not talking about the land in Israel, but a people that were called out of Adam and Eve through Abraham. Abraham was in the King James loins of Adam. Okay, so Abraham, as Adam did not know that Eve was there until she was revealed, and Adam did not know that Abraham was in there until he was revealed. So the purpose of creation was to bring forth a nation that could declare the name, the glory, and the instructions of the Creator unto those others who were in, therefore giving them in the loins, therefore giving them an opportunity to be part of that nation. I hope I made myself somewhat clear. To say that I'm running on all cylinders this morning, no, I think I got the car started, but it's sputtering a little bit. So if we consider this, it is also taught that the fall festivals would be the beginning of the time of judgment. Now, I'm going to go into something about that a little bit later on. A time of judgment. That Yom Teruah, the sounding of the shofar, would be a call unto the nation of Israel and unto the world that judgment is coming. Yom Kippur would be the day that we stand before Him to give an account for what we have done. Sukkot would be the time of rejoicing for all of those who had made the right decision and would now enter into the kingdom. Let me put it to you like this. I mentioned this in my my report on Hurricane Helena, that about people say, well, you know, why is God doing this? Well, I think the better answer should be, why is this happening? What have we done? Okay, nobody wants to blame themselves. Everybody wants to blame somebody else, something else, God himself. Blame something. It can't be me. Well, yes, it can. It's like you send your children out into the yard. Remember the good old days when we did that. And you tell them you can ride your bicycle between this driveway and this driveway. You look out and they're in the street about to be run over by a car. What have they done? They have broken, they have disobeyed your boundaries. So if they get hit by that car, hopefully not, and there's consequences, like a broken arm or whatever, then it's their fault. You set the boundaries as a parent. They disregarded those boundaries and therefore suffered the consequences. Well, let's say that the car hadn't gotten there yet and you look out and see them and say, you know, call their name, get in this house. Well, that's kind of like the shofar call of Yom Teruah. You're out there doing your own thing. Get back in this house. We're going to talk about this. There's judgment coming. So you get off your bike. You put your bike away. Come in the house. You have now answered the call, the shofar call of mom and dad to come in the house. But at this point in time, there's a little space between the shofar call of their voice telling you that you've broken the boundaries and the judgment day that's going to be the belt or whatever that's coming out of the closet. Yom Kippur could be looked at as the day of judgment. The shofar call has been given. Now is time for the judgment of the consequences. For those who have repented, they enter into the kingdom, into Sukkot. For those that are not, they are outside of his kingdom. I could go in, that would be a whole teaching of its own. I hope that picture has given you something to consider. Now, with that, let's go to this week's Torah portion. And it is, that's got to turn back the page here. It is here, which is Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 52. It is called the Song of Moses. And it begins, "Hear, O heavens, as I speak, listen, earth, to the words from your mouth." The word "hear" and the word "listen" are two different words in Hebrew. Now, I did not write the word down for the word "hear," but let me give you the definition for it. It is more of turn your ear toward me, focus upon me. If you've ever had somebody that you're talking to and you know that they're kind of over there, they're, you know, playing the video games or listening to something, you see the ear pods in their ears, and or you just notice they're pretty distracted. "Hey, excuse me, could you listen to me here? Give ear to me. Focus upon me and what I'm going to say." The word for "listen, earth," is the word "shema," which is hear with intelligence and obey the words that I'm speaking. So why does he use two words here? It is because in the heavens, obedience is not an option. the heavens do not, you know, he was basically to the angelic, demonic, whatever forces that are there, principalities, authorities in the heavens, he was saying to them, focus on what I am about to say. You hear my words that are going forth into the heavens, but I want you to focus on what I am about to say. To the word listen, it is listen earth, because the earth, as far as us, not creation out there, but creation here, we have a choice whether to obey those words or not. And therefore, there will be a shofar blast, and there will be a Yom Kippur, and there will be the separation of sheep and goats called Sukkot and the millennium. So listen, Shema, to what I'm about to say. May my teaching fall like rain. May my speech condense like dew, like light rain on blades of grass or showers on growing plants. Bring in something that happened to us this past week. There was a storm that came in front of the hurricane. The storm was rain, very little wind. It was just a constant deluge of water. We then got the wind, the rain, the hurricane coming in. And as I said, the eye of it went over us. That gave us just a few minutes, really, maybe a half an hour of some gusty winds. Took very little time because of the way that the hurricane was moving, how fast it was moving at that point. And then we were in the eye of it. The rain actually stopped. And then the back end of it was dissipating. And so the rain began again. We ended up, over a period of about 3 days, with 7 to 8 inches of rain. It never rained hard. We have a driveway, some of you have been to our house, that's gravel, and is, you know, at least a 30 or more percent incline. And when you have a driveway like that, it's very easy to wash out. I'd gone to Daniel's, he had some extra bags of soil, and I put it across the top of the driveway to try to divert some of the water, thinking that I'm going to have this deluge of water, of rain, and it's going to wash my driveway out. Well, there was no purpose for doing that, because all it was for about 3 days was, as the scripture says right here, it was like a drip, a drizzle. It was just a light, what we would have called growing up, a light summer shower. It was nourishing. We will have, as soon as the sun comes out later today, probably, the grass is going to start greening. Grass seed that I put in a couple weeks ago is going to start coming forth. It's probably going to be beautiful around here with the green that's going to come forth. However, you look up in Asheville, you go down to Cedar Key, to Steinhatchee, places I grew up in, and you see the amount of water that came down there, 30 inches of water in Asheville. Flood level, the river was 10 feet, I believe, above the record that has ever been, 1916. You've seen the pictures, the videos that have been coming up out online. It is devastating. It looks like a war zone. It's the same water. The same water that came down in a drizzle, in a light rain that came down and gave us nourishment, moisture in the ground, is the same water that came down in Asheville and brought forth destruction. See, his word is the same for all. But for those who accept his word, it comes down like dew, like a light rain. But for those, and I'm not saying this regarding, you know, what happened, this is just a statement outside of the the illustration of what's going on in Nashville and different places, even though I could bring out some things. But for those who will reject his word will one day come to them, and it will be in vengeance, a word that I'm going to bring out in just a few moments. Verse 3, "For I will proclaim the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Come declare the greatness of our Elohim, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A trustworthy Elohim who does no wrong. He is righteous and straight." The final judgment day, the final Yom Teruah, the final Yom Kippur. Will it be this year? I don't know. It will be 1 year. Whatever 1 year it is. Okay, I didn't say 1 year. I said it will be in 1 year. Don't want somebody to say that I was setting some dates here. But there will be a day in which these days will come forth. And in that day, we will stand back in wonder, in awe of this very fact that his ways were perfect. He was trustworthy to carry out his word. There is no wrong in him. There will be no discussion over the fact that he is righteous, he is true, and his ways are just. And we will stand in awe of those. Now, verse 5 brings up a word that this verse is one of my favorites of scripture. And it says, "He is not corrupt. The defect is in his generation, a crooked and perverse generation. The defect is in his children." The word in Hebrew is the word for rotting. Okay? The rot. Do not blame the Creator for the rot that is in the world. You know, once again, it is, will we look at it one day as it says in the scripture, because of the love of Torah, many will grow, many will fall away because of the lack of the love of Torah. I'm misquoting that out of Matthew chapter 24. So is it possible that as man continues to thumb their nose in the face of the Creator, that he has held back for these 6,000 years? We see what happened when he did not hold back. It's called Noah's flood. When he did not hold back, it's called the plagues upon Egypt. When he did not hold back, it's called the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Is it possible that he has been holding back the judgment? And now, as mankind is once again going farther and farther and farther away from the instructions in which he has given to us, that causes him to have to release that judgment upon this earth. Just a thought to consider. Now, he says, and I'm skipping a lot here because of time restraints, in verse 8, when Elyon gave each nation its heritage, when he divided the human race, he assigned the boundaries of peoples according to Israel's population. Now, I could do about an hour teaching at least on this one verse. I'm not going to. But the boundaries, that he has set boundaries upon this earth. There was people groups, as we see after the time of Babel, people groups going to different places. Did they go to the boundaries that had already been established for them, and boundaries that will be reestablished in the millennium? I don't know. Well, you just kind of, you know, think on that one. Israel is a people, the of natural born and the foreigner in Messiah, who are called out of those people and into a place called Israel. Consider, for, you know, there's this, I'm going to get in trouble with this one. It hadn't stopped me before. There's this feeling out there regarding the United States of America, that somehow we are this totally righteous people. I heard on a broadcast not too long ago, a Hebrew radio station, a guy that was blasting Israel as a people trying to take over the world. They're not doing a good job at that, if that's their goal, any better than they're doing a good job at genocide in Gaza. But another subject. So that the pilgrims, when coming to America, that they founded America on a covenant. And we are now Israel. And we are now God's chosen people. Well, excuse me, what about what happened in that regarding the Native Americans? Somehow people just want to overlook the fact that these, and I'm not getting into politics or anything like that, I'm just kind of throwing some things out here for you to consider, that the reason for the reason of the United States of America, the reason its formation is because of displacing of people. So maybe this country, the United States, will go back to the Native Americans in the end. I don't know. Just think about that. That he has set forth boundaries and then called, that there are people that are answering the call out of those nations, which will then be a part of Israel. Okay, moving on. I had to go over something right there. I don't have enough time for it. I want to go down to verse 15 to 18. But Yeshurun, this is a poetic term for Israel, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, thick, gross. He abandoned Elohim, his maker. He scorned the rock, his salvation. He roused him to jealousy with alien gods, provoked him with abominations. They sacrificed to demons, non-gods, gods that they had never known. New gods that they had come up lately, which your ancestors had not feared. You ignored the rock who fathered you. You forgot God who gave you birth. Wow, I can go into a lot of different places here. If we do not know the origin of which we came from, we will be confused regarding our path and our destination. To term this in modern education, if you believe that your great-great-great-great-granddad was a slime pond, that's going to give you difficulties in the walking of your life and an unsurety regarding your destination. I was talking about evolution, of course. So if you believe you came from a monkey, then you're going to end up walking kind of with some monkey traits. And then you're not going to know what your destination is. But when I understand that I have a creator who I refer to as my father, the one who created me, who gave me life, set me on a path, and has given me a destination. But what has happened along the way is those who have been walking that destination have taken their eyes off the destination. Their path has been not according to the instructions of the Almighty, but have embraced instructions that are, let me tone it down and say, ungodly. Right now, we're preparing for Yom Teruah, the sounding of the trumpets. Okay, tonight we'll gather together, a number of us, at one of our congregation at their house, and we will have this celebration this next week. Will be Yom Kippur. I can go to Leviticus chapter 23 as I did this morning, and I can look at those festivals, and I can see that these are the biblical festivals of the Almighty, Sukkot. These are the biblical festivals. However, the world around me, including much of Christianity, is on the verge of celebrating, I'll get that out, a holiday which is demonic. We're already seeing it. Okay? You go to Walmart, go to Lowe's, all this stuff. I'm already seeing yours. It's October 2nd right now. I can see people driving around with skeletons on their car. I can see the decorations already starting to come out of death, of demonic presence. I mean, who can look at a depiction of a person with a knife through their skull and fake blood pouring out and think that's godly? Or, well, it's just fun. No, it's not fun, folks. It's demonic. Most people are listening to me, you know that. But how are we going to do, you know, we turn off, we don't live in a place that has kids running around, but I turn off our lights. Right? We're not going to answer the door. I don't have candy. I'm not going to hand them a track either. That's going to be thrown in the trash. As the same as a candy wrapper. Okay? We are a people. I used to celebrate all of these festivals, all these pagan festivals. But I don't do it anymore. I have repented because I understand that the biblical festival of Yom Kippur is not one that you show up, you know, it's one that, well, RSVP. No, this is not an invitation which you have a choice for. Yom Kippur is a date that is a mandatory, required time that each of us will stand before Him and give an account for ourselves. Oh, moving on. It's just the Song of Moses. How can you get so much in here, right? Let me go to verse 26. I considered putting an end into them, erasing their memory from the human race. But I feared the insolence of their enemy, feared that their foes would mistakenly think, we ourselves accomplished this. Adonai had nothing to do with it. Okay. Consider that if he had put it into the human race, there wouldn't be no human race in order to say that he had, you know, was not able to do this. So who is he speaking to here? He is not speaking to an earthly realm of people. He is speaking of a heavenly, a powers and principalities, forces, demonic forces, Satan himself. He is speaking right here into the heavenly realm. Remember that it started with, hear, O heavens, listen, earth. So he's speaking to both at the same time. But here there would not be, if he had put an end to the human race, there would be no human race to speak to. So consider this, that the war that is happening in Israel is not of earthly origin. Why is it that the rockets are coming in from the air, right? The battle that is happening right now, that happened yesterday in Israel, was happening above them. I had a friend of mine sent me a message this morning and said, we were watching the missile, this attack was happening above us. If you'd been standing there with a camera, you would have had to point it straight up. The explosions were happening above them. Now, one day, we're looking at what's going on in Lebanon, Iran. It is going to be a ground attack. That which is happening in the heavenly realm will eventually be on the earthly realm. That is a picture. What we see happening today is a picture of the war in the earthly realm. The origin is in the heavenly realm. This is a battle that is happening between the Creator and the created. One we would refer to as God, as Elohim, as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and Hasatan, the enemy, the adversary. This is the battle that is happening, and you and I are watching it. We are there in it, and hopefully we are involved in that. Now, verse 40. I just as soon not read this one, but I'm going to. For I lift up my hand to heaven and swear, as surely as I am alive forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and set my hand to judgment, I will render vengeance to my foes, repay those who hate me. Listen to this one. I will make my arrows drunk with blood. An arrow is something that's shot out of a bow. Could this be speaking of missiles? Rockets? I don't know. My sword will devour flesh. The blood of the slain and the captives, flesh from the wild-haired beast heads of the enemy. Sing out, you nations, about his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries and make atonement for the land and his people. You may have heard the Jewish expression, may Hashem avenge their blood. This is a statement knowing, this is a statement that is saying, I know that he can avenge and will avenge their blood. I want to bring out the verse from last week again, which I don't want to read. This verse is bothering me. I've talked to a couple of people about this verse, and I don't like this verse. Okay? Just being quite honest, there are verses I don't like, and this is one of them. It's in Proverbs 24. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't let your heart be glad when he stumbles. For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh may see it, and it would displease him. He may withdraw his anger from your foe. I know I can take other verses in Scripture, and I can put together my theology here that I want to have. Of standing there, and, you know, of sitting there and watching these rockets and going, hey, yeah, yeah, go. We are not to take joy in the destruction of our enemies and the enemies of Israel. We may want to, but what that has done, I talked about this last week, is taking the humanity out of it. When a cell phone goes off in a person's pocket and brings an end to their ability to reproduce, they now cannot repent and come into obedience with the first commandment of be fruitful and multiply. Are we taking joy? Is the Father, is he taking joy in this? Will he take joy on the day of Yom Kippur? It's known as the most solemn day, scriptural, the most solemn day in Scripture, the most solemn day of the world, a day of judgment. Will he take joy in that judgment? I dare say no. There will not be a single person that walks away from Yom Kippur being separated from him. He will turn to us and smile and say, yeah, they got what's coming to them. Should not our attitude be the same? I'm going to move on. In verse 47, it says, for this is not a trivial manner for you. On the contrary, it is your life. Understand the words of Torah, the words of his instructions are our life. The word is Tav Yod. Tav is the mark of the covenant. Yod is a hand. Interesting enough, this actually goes to a three-letter root. So going from a two-letter word to a three-letter root, you normally don't see that. But the word is, it is a Tav, a Yod, and a He. And so we can actually see this as the Tav is the mark of the covenant. The Yod is the hand, and the He is his breath. And so this is, these words are what is his hand upon us, his breath upon us, bringing us into the covenant. Now, you can spend a lot of time with that one, and I'm not going to. But I want to spend what time I have left on the last verses of chapter 32. This is, to me, one of the saddest sections of Scripture that there is. It is the final judgment, earthly judgment over Moshe. We can separate that there is earthly judgment over our deeds, but then there will be heavenly realm reward because our earthly deeds have already, it's kind of an old Christian terminology, but the deeds that we do, we can either stand there on Yom Kippur, I'm kind of mixing some things here, we can stand there before him and have our failures judged, or we can send them forth ahead of us to be judged in Messiah. That is the essence of redemption. That I admit to my faults, my sins, my disobedience, my stubbornness, my rebellion. I turn away from that and turn to him, asking forgiveness. In doing so, I am sending those things ahead of me to be judged already in Messiah. It is a tragic thing to have our deeds in our pocket when we get there. Regarding our failures in life, you want your pockets empty, having already sent them ahead. For those who would listen to his word today, as I have done for about 40-something minutes, and maybe I offended you in a couple things. Maybe when I read Psalm 20 or Proverbs 24, you're kind of offended at those. No, I'm going to take joy over the destruction of my enemies. Okay? Do you want to hold on to that on the day of judgment? No, I'm going to go out and decorate my yard however I want. Are you going to hold on to that in the day of judgment? See, it is. When you hear the word, this is not the word listen as was in the heavenly realm. This is the word Shema in the earthly realm, that when you hear the word, you have a choice whether to obey that word or not. I'm not saying that everything that I always say is right, but if you disagree with me, you owe it to yourself to study, to show yourself approved. You owe it to yourself to prove me wrong. Because if I'm right, you cannot stand there and say, nobody told me. This should be the most serious thing that we consider in our lives, folks, is that all of us have those sins, shortcomings, whatever you want to call them. We all have it, but I don't want to stand on that day of judgment with it. I want to have already sent it forward as Messiah has taken those things upon him, according to Isaiah chapter 53. Moshe, the words say this, the judgment that he will not enter the land, is that both of you broke faith with me there among the people of Israel at Meribah Kadesh spring in the Zin desert. You failed to demonstrate my holiness there among the people of Israel. So you will see the land from a distance, but you will not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. This verse, these verses I just read, are maybe the most frightening verses to me in all of Scripture. You did not demonstrate my holiness in front of the people. The word I can retranslate this a little bit. I believe you brought dishonor to my name in not being obedient to my commandment. When he told him to strike, to speak to the rock, and he struck it, he changed the words. He did not fulfill the actions that he was supposed to, and therefore it says he did not demonstrate holiness. What he did is he brought dishonor to the name of YHWH in the midst of the people. Anybody that's raised children knows what it's like to have your child do something that is not according to your will. What is that? That's a dishonoring of your name. For many of us, regarding our own parents, guilty of not honoring the name that was given to me by the people who gave me life. Guilty on many, many charges regarding that. Moshe dishonored the name of his Elohim, his God, of our God. And because of that, he could see the land from a distance, but he would not enter in. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Many times I'll pray this, may it be soon and in my day. I don't know what it would be like to be Moshe that would stand there on the edge of the land of Israel, representing the kingdom, and just see it from a distance, but not be able to enter in because of his own fault. If there's one thing that this frightens me. This frightens me. That somewhere in the latter part of my life or ministry, I would do something that would dishonor his name and cause a consequence for me that I just don't desire to even think about. I'm just going to leave that with you. I'm going to leave that right there as a thought to enter into this fall festival time. One of the shofar sounding, hey, time to get in the house. Yom Kippur, let's talk about this. Sukkot, for those who have repented, who sent their sins ahead of time for judgment, enter into the joy that I've set before you. In Jewish culture, there's a saying, Shana Tova, may you have a blessed new year. It is a year of, I believe, a celebration of the year of creation. It was on this day, that the creation of Adam and Eve came into existence in the creation of this world. That's something to celebrate, that we have something outside to celebrate. Shana Tova, may you have a blessed year ahead of you. Shabbat Shalom, Shavuot Tov, have a blessed, prosperous week. Bezrat Hashem, see you again next week. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the protection of the Almighty upon His land and His people. And as always, in our own lives, be strong. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.